9, verse 51. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. They did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go into Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And they went to another village. I'd like to take a text tonight, a little bit different angle for this scripture, but real Christian courage. That's what I like to preach on. Real Christian courage. Let's bow our heads together as we approach the Word of God. Come expecting to hear from Him. Let's let everything else fade away now and say, Lord, You promised to meet us here. And I expect from You, Lord. And I've got a knee down in my heart, and I raise it to You with an uplifted hand. God bless you, saints. God sees it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much, Lord, as we come to this Thanksgiving season. Many people are just going to watch football or eat food and not think anything of it. But Lord, as Christians, we're so thankful tonight for how You provide, how You take care of us, how Lord, You even brought us salvation and You give us peace and joy and love that the world never gave us, Lord. It only took it away. We're thankful tonight, Lord. And though the world won't praise You, Lord, may You be able to look down here in this little group and find souls that lift their hands up to You and give their voices and their life and to praise to Your name and genuine thanksgiving to our Creator. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for being so good, so mindful of us, Lord. How we appreciate You tonight. We pray, Lord, as You've ordained us to be here in the house of God, You promised to come and feed us, Lord. You promised to be with us till the end of the world, Lord, and we believe that with all our hearts. We pray You'll come. Take the preeminence in the service. May the Word just be a sharp two-edged sword in our souls and cut aside, away everything that's not of You, that the only thing left is Your character. Grant it to each Christian here tonight. Heal every sickness. Bring us back to perfect fellowship with You, we pray. Receive all the glory we ask. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Real Christian courage. Had inspiration for this thought. I'll get to that hopefully here in a little bit. We'll see what the Lord wills anymore. I just can't think of what I'm going to do because I don't know. You know, anymore I used to think you could go down the street. You don't know if you're going to make it down the street. I remember going. We were going to go to a restaurant on Sunday. Got there and they weren't open. And it's like, well, there you go. You just never know what you're going to be doing. And then you turn back to go somewhere else and the railroad tracks are under construction. You can't go that way. So you go around. The place you went to next is closed. So you decide to go to somewhere else that wasn't even as good as Defiance. But when it's all said and done, that's the way this world is. It's chaos. There's no stability. There's no structure. We used to have some of that in our lives, even some of us here. I can remember it. I'm starting to feel old. I really didn't until here recently, to where the kids these days, just in the last 5 years, I've seen it decline. I've seen the standard of living, the standard of common decency and common sense is gone. And a thing I want to talk about tonight is courage. The definition of courage in this world is completely diluted. It doesn't mean anything what courage means. People think they're courageous because they're a sports athlete. That's fine, and you know, God honor people that'll give Him credit, but still, when it's all done, you're not doing anything courageous. You're not doing anything. The same man will go cheat, and you know, I just saw a documentary about, what was that? Evander Holyfield. I don't know if you know him. He's a boxer from back when. But he's won the heavyweight title 3 times. Well, then you look into his life, he's got 9 kids by all kinds of different women out of wedlock. That's not courage, that he could stand and fight a man and take a beating and stand there. It'd have been courage for him to be a man when he had all the money and reputation and live true to his wife and shun all them pretty girls. That takes courage. Doesn't take courage to put up dukes and have a bicep as big as a barnyard. It takes a real man to be a man today. It takes a real man to take care of his family. It takes a real man, and not when it's easy, but when it's not. When it requires sacrifice, where it requires heart, where it requires I will give up my need for the sake of someone else. talking about real Christian courage tonight. And if there isn't a better example, it's right here. When Jesus came here, he had his face set to go to Jerusalem, and the religious folks thought that he was just a Jew, and that's why. And they didn't like him because they were Samaritans. They were from the other kind of church. They didn't like these group. Yep. And he wasn't with them, but he looked like he was going to go that way, so we just steered clear. Yep. Hallelujah. Saw a Christmas tree. He's gone. Yep. Or didn't see a Christmas tree. You're gone. Yep. It goes both ways. Yep. That's right. Maybe we'll preach a Christmas sermon this year. I don't know. I try not to, but... Because it's petty. It's doctrine. It's not doctrine. You know what you want to do, but just don't go worshiping the devil. That's right. Amen. Don't give me that. Don't expect Brother Andrew to cancel church for it. It ain't gonna happen. We're not gonna cancel for Thanksgiving either. That about makes me want to throw up. If there's any day you ought to be in church, it's the day you're thankful. That's right. And if we're really gonna celebrate Christmas and say, you know, the birth of the Lord, and even though we know it wasn't, it's a Roman holiday and all this nonsense. Well, if we're gonna do that, why wouldn't you be at church? That's one thing the denomination's got on us. They go to church on Christmas. It's just that I call them CEOs, but that's Christmas and Easter only. But they'll be there. Except for the message for some reason. But anywho. Free for you. Here in Luke chapter 9, Jesus is coming, and why is he looking towards Jerusalem? Nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going on through Jesus' head, but he does. It's the words about to come to pass. He's going to have to go to Jerusalem and give his life. It's the end of his ministry. Everything he's done up to this point has led to this climax of going to Jerusalem and giving his life a sacrifice for sin. That's right. Everything was coming down to this moment. And then what happens? He comes, and the Samaritans don't want nothing to do with him. And those good old religious spirits jumped right on James and John and say, look, they don't like us. They said bad things. They are naughty boys. Let's not just slap them on the hands. Let's not pray for them. Let's not try to do something to help. Lord, do you want us to command fire out of heaven and wipe them all out? Totally oblivious to why the Messiah came in the first place. And here comes Jesus showing what real courage is in the midst of trial, in the midst of rejection, can you just stand on the word? Amen. Or do you got to stick up for yourself? Or do you got to have a personal agenda about it? Or do you got to let your feelings get into it? That's where we fall. That's where every man's failed, is when he's interject his own idea and sacrifice the word. But we're talking about Christian courage tonight. That it takes a real man to accept this rejection and say, Lord, I know it was happening for a reason. No, I did not come to burn them alive. I came to save them from their sins. And this message didn't come to burn the world down. It came to get a bride. That's right. And it's for anyone that'll take it. Hallelujah. And you know what? These Samaritans later on did take Jesus. That's right. I think, who was it, Philip went down there or something, but they got it. That's right. Good thing they didn't bring fire and brimstone down there. There wouldn't have been nobody to convert when Philip got there. Hallelujah. And there was another time a man thought he had real courage, and that was Peter. Peter was, we know, a brawly man. He was bigger than the other disciples, as Brother Bram tells us, and that's where I get my consolation. Amen. It's all right to be a little taller than someone else. Because there ain't hardly any good examples in the Bible. But really, we know God don't look at that. That's why he did that on purpose. He said when Samuel went to go to anoint David, he specifically was told by God, don't look what he looks like. Amen. Don't worry about that. I'm looking past that. I'm trying to find a man of true courage. And I guess I'll just go to David now. I just never seem to get away from him. But David, what a man. What a man. You say, why? Not because he killed Goliath. That's not what, now that took a lot of courage. Don't get me wrong. He stood for the word to do that. But where do you catch the real man character that David was? First, he had a king seeking his life every day. And he so respected the word. He took courage to say, I won't even take it into my own hands, even though I could. Even though he's in the cave asleep and I got a sword right here. And the church is telling me to kill him.
That's right.
Holy Spirit said, don't touch my anointed. He said, and what he said, he didn't back off the word. He knew Saul was kingdom had to end. He because he knew he was king. But he said, Lord, let it come in some battle or something of his own doing. I'm not going to have nothing to do with it. That's a man of courage. And we go through the victories that he had and the trials that he withstood and how he continually reached out to the rest of Israel, those that were part of Saul. He always tried to bring them in. He was always doing everything he could. And Joab was ruining it every time he tried. That's right. And he suffered for all those things. But what is the real, to me, the most courageous thing that ever happened is after David took Uriah, stole his wife, got her pregnant, tried to cover it up by bringing him off the field and getting him drunk and sending him down to his house twice. And the man was so under a Hittite, had more respect to the word of God than David did at the time. That's right. And he said, I won't do it. Joab's out there, the captain and all the hosts are out there struggling to fight for the kingdom of God. And I'm over here goofing off at home. He said, I won't do it, even if the preacher says I should. That's right. This was the king telling him to do that. Not once, but twice. Hallelujah. You always do what the word says. And there's Uriah. What a man of courage that he was. Hallelujah. But what am I talking about? Is after all that happens, what do we pick up on? God don't wink at that. He saw it. He said, you didn't sin against, you know, just Uriah. I saw it, King David. And I think if we quit worrying about somebody seeing us or the pastor seeing us or so-and-so, we didn't realize that God saw us, then we would just take care of it. But see, David needed somebody because he got a little lifted up. He was king. Who could tell him any different? Hallelujah. And Nathan the prophet came. We understand the story. He says, you know, there's a man, he's got all kinds of sheep. And there was this one man who took care of his sheep. It was like a child to him. And the rich man said, instead of killing one of mine, he went and killed his and had get food for his guests. And what came out of David's mouth? That man will die. How many times you caught yourself with that? Well, if somebody says they're going to be there, they better be there or they're a liar. And then you miss next time. They're real Christians. They do this. They would have a Christmas tree. They would have sent me a Christmas present. They would have known it was my birthday. Hallelujah. Now, it's nice to do those things, but when you demand it, you're just a big whiny sissy. That's all you are. Be a man. It's all right. I'm not even 30 years old, and I don't even really care for my birthday anymore. And I've seen people 50, 60, 70 want to have a big thing. Okay. Let my kids do it, but kind of grew up now. I don't know. Oh, where'd all that come from? Well, King David, can we just drop all that? King David, he got to where Nathan came, and out of his own mouth, he pronounced his own judgment. And he says, I should die. And Nathan said, but what was so courageous about David? Do you know other kings had prophets say, thus saith the Lord? They were afraid to do so. Ahab didn't do kindly to Micaiah for what he had to say. Jeremiah didn't receive good treatment for what he told the king. So the fact that they had thus saith the Lord didn't mean there wasn't going to be consequences when they did that. But those prophets had courage. The prophets knew the word will stand, and Nathan knew the same. And he went to the king and he told him, thus saith the Lord. What makes David such a courageous man is he didn't even fight, didn't stew, didn't backtalk, didn't reason. He said, you're right. I'm wrong. He said, it's okay, David. The Lord forgives you. People are trying so hard to get saved, but they will do everything but repent. They'll do every excuse. They'll come up with every lie. They'll go and shame this person, that person, to make themselves look good instead of just doing what the Word said. Amen. That's right. If God convicts your heart, if it's sitting here in the Word, just do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And David made that an absolute in his life. My people, you know, he could come back. He knew that if he'd repent, he could come back to God and God would receive him.
Amen.
And God brought the word. He said, you know, you're obeying my word, but that baby will die. Look how courageous this man really was. What did he do? Well, I guess that's it. Guess I reap what I sow. He said, wait, maybe God will be merciful. Said, I condemned myself and God spared me. Maybe there's mercy for this. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And just to think, out of Bathsheba came Solomon. Out of Solomon, we know, come all the way down until you get to the Messiah himself. Glory to God. Brother Bram says it like this, as I thought on my way, 1959. David, after he did wrong and taking Uriah, the Hittite's wife, the lovely Bathsheba, and was going to be a father of her child and cause her gallant husband to be killed in battle. But when the prophet Nathan come in and revealed his sins to him, then David thought on his ways, turned himself to repentance in sackcloth and ashes. That's the way to turn. God heard him. God will always hear a man that'll turn their feet to his testimony, to God's testimony, that David, you're nothing anyways. Christian, you're nothing anyways. It's the grace of God you're even alive. You should have died by the bear, but I saved you, David. You should have died by a lion. You should have died by Goliath. And now you're facing your worst enemy, which is you. And I'm not forsaking you now. David turned himself back to the testimony of the Lord. God help the bride to wake up and turn to the testimony of what she is. Not what she feels, not what she thinks, but God saved me. God predestinated me, and God has sent a voice to tell me so. Glory. It takes courage to stand up and say, I know I was an adulterer. Come on. I know I stole. I know I lied. I know I raped. I know I killed. But God forgive me. It takes a man of courage to accept God's forgiveness. Why do you think people don't come to church? They ain't courageous enough to take God's forgiveness. So when the presence of God comes, they run scared and shame. That's not courage. That's a sissy. David didn't have to do this. David could have covered it up again. David could have got Nathan killed and made sure anybody that was there didn't say anything. But he did it, and it's written in the Word for us to read about it. How would you feel if that's what was in the Bible for you? Here, look, according to the Bible, that was his one mistake.
Right.
And it's in there. And people get mad that somebody might remember you did something wrong.
Yeah.
Well, God forgave me. Yeah, that's fine, but we need to learn. Yeah. If I do something wrong, I don't want to keep doing it.
Right.
And you know what? If I can be a bad testimony to help somebody else from keeping to do what I did, praise God, tell them.
Amen.
That's right. Every man, young woman, whatever, don't you get up with no unbeliever. Don't you hook up with no unbeliever. You stay with a Holy Ghost filled girl. I don't care if they're in the message. If you ain't got confidence that that girl's going to serve God, whether you're with her or not, get away.
Amen.
That's right, because you know who didn't do that right away? This brother back here. And you know what happens? If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would ruin my own life. That's right. And some of us tried real hard to ruin our own lives, and God wouldn't let us.
Amen.
Glory. And we still wonder if we're predestinated. Be courageous. God, you overcame all of that. You can overcome what's happening today. Turn your feet back to his testimony. Hallelujah. David was worthy of dying, and he pronounced his own death. But Nathan said, surely you'll not die. For he knew David knew God and knew that he'd done wrong. He defiled his brother's wife. Listen now, I wonder tonight, wouldn't say this, but maybe there'd be another David sitting here tonight that's as guilty as David was. When you turn your light out at night, when you see your brother's face, the man that you defiled his loving wife or broke up his home, flickering on the side of the wall, or some woman, see the woman's home that she broke up by running off with her husband. It ought to bring you to repentance and sackcloth and confession. What the church needs tonight is a confession and making right to come back to the testimonies of the Lord God. There's mercy, forgiveness. Seems that it would haunt people going on. Know that you're walking hour by hour in the face of death. Why do we continue on with selfishness and greed and ungodliness and our eyes on the things of the world? It's time we turn back to God's testimonies. Amen. That Lord, that's what I'm trying to get at tonight. I might as well tell you, and we'll backdrop it some more. But real Christian courage is to stand for the word's sake.
Amen.
Not because of any sign, not because of any manifestation, not because of your prestige or someone else, but just because it's God's word and someone needs to stand on it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Remember, God don't even come and manifest to prove himself. He comes to make the word come to pass.
Amen.
Peter thought he knew what courage was.
Jesus was getting taken. Let's turn there. Luke 18. No, I'm sorry. That's John 18. John 18. Peter was what we call like a quick shooter. Didn't really have a safety on his gun. Didn't think to look twice. He started shooting and said, "Who's there?" Amen. That's right. That's how he was. And here he got his foot caught in his mouth again. But watch this. He thought he knew what he was doing. John 18. We'll just go to 4. And Jesus, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" And they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus saith unto them, "I am he." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. And as soon as he had said unto them, "I am he," they went backward and fell on the ground. So let me just stop right there. What was Jesus showing? I don't have to do this. What was Jesus demonstrating? I truly am the Son of God. I don't need to do some magic or some hocus pocus. My word will defeat anything. And he said, "I'm he." And the Bible specifically says they fell on the ground. Hallelujah. And you think Peter would have been paying attention, but it didn't seem like he was. And as soon as they, verse 7, then asked he them again, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, 'Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none.'" And Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, "Pick up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Here's the Son of God. They had just got off Mount Transfiguration not too long before. They had already heard the voice, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." They had just watched the persecution come. And he already told them, "I'm trying to save life in the first place." Yes. We just read that a while ago. They come to pressure him. And he says, "I'm he." And they all fall down. He demonstrated his power. What does Peter still do? "Lord, you still need my help." I know you quoted the word and everything, but look, we need a little bit more than that. I know we don't need programs and things, and Brother Ram didn't speak well of that and all this bunko games and everything, but we need a little help to keep the young people. We just don't quite have the money. I mean, we have it in the mission fund, so I guess we can just use that for us and not send it. You know, they'll be all right. I've heard it. Mission fund's getting used for potlucks and stuff like that. Look, if we're going to call it mission fund, send it to the missions. Yeah. That ain't mission ground, us getting together and eating. Nope. All right, that's fine. It's great. Fellowshipping and things. Obviously, I believe in it, or we wouldn't be doing it all the time. But that's not mission work. That's just a little extra. But you don't sacrifice the word to do a little extra. Nope. You can do it on top. That's fine. But make sure you put the first thing first. Like Brother Bram said, he said the church is all building hospitals and orphanages and everything else. That's fine and that's good. But you forsook the word. You forsook the word. So what happens? All those things that you think are courageous and bold and mighty will count for nothing at the judgment because you forsook him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Peter here, he thought he was doing a good thing. He thought he did a good thing when he told Jesus, "You're not going to the cross. You'll never go there. I'll fight for you." And here he was proving his own backslidden word. And we know you can read the other accounts. What did Jesus do? He said, "Peter, put your sword away. I could call legions of angels and kill all these." And even went over there, grabbed the man's ear, and put it back on and walked away. Hallelujah. Peter thought he was a real courageous man. But we find out later, when it came time for the real test, when it came time to see, will you really stand for the word? He buckled under the pressure. All that burly manness faded, and he couldn't even confess with his mouth that he knew Jesus. Let me read. And this, brother, sister, this is coming to our message now. It's coming now. Oh my, you got people. Oh, I can shout and scream. I can do this. I can have faith and blah. And just everything in church. Second, you get on the job, I'm too afraid to say anything. Yeah. Can't say anything about Jesus. Might feel like, you can't really stick out too much. Might lose your job. Yeah, you might lose your soul too.
That's right.
I'm not interested in this life. I don't know what's happened to me here. I do. But I'm just one string's coming off at a time. You know what I mean? We're just breaking loose, getting ready to leave. And it's just, don't care about that no more. Don't care about that. Don't care about that. Why? Because I know what I'm here for. And that's to get out. And as long as I got a voice, let me scream the same to any soul that'll listen. Get out! Look, there's a big hole in the bottom of the boat. There ain't no point us here bailing water. It's going under. Jump out in the lifeboat and let's go. Amen. The night's going to be too dark soon and you won't be able to see it no more. Amen. That's the season we're in. People read the same message you do. They have the same quotes, but they'll go and they can't believe it anymore. Amen. Why? Because in their heart they never did in the first place. They never had the courage to stand and say, if God be God, He'll still heal cancer. If God be God, He can still speak in tongues and prophesy and tell us, thus saith the Lord. We ain't got to make up a bunch of excuses why it don't happen. Amen. We need to get the faith to say, God, You promised it.
Amen.
And Lord, if You're going to use me, be me then, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not trying to get too personal. But I'm just letting you know, I didn't have to do what I'm doing back here. I could have been a very, very popular person had I not taken a stand on the Word in churches I've been in before. That's right. If I'd have just buckled under and said, you know what, brother, that's fine. I'll just believe it that way. Or I just won't say nothing about it. I'll just kind of go with the flow. And look, if it's Christmas or something stupid, that's fine. But if it's the Word, if you're going to tell me I got to build somehow, like we talked about statue for me, and some people think you got to do that without having the grace of God in your life, that somehow you're going to get good enough, then God's going to give you the Holy Ghost. And yet every account I've ever read in the Bible, show me one time it worked that way. The man that wrote 2 Peter 1 is Peter. And when Peter got people to the Holy Ghost, he only needed one verse.
That's right.
Now, I understand we're supposed to be mature. I understand we're supposed to be the full stature of the Son of God. But don't tell me you can start without eternal life in you. That's right. And don't tell me you can live in the things of the world with eternal life in you. Don't tell me you're going to hate the Bible with eternal life in you. Or you're going to hate this message. Or you're going to hate church. And you're going to hate that, you know, Brother Branham said that too hard. Hallelujah. Look, I'm bringing it right home tonight. Look, I understand. It's hard. There's plenty of times it's been hard. I had a buddy of mine come here recently. You might, Dad knows him, I know that. His name's Andy Davis. He's a good man as far as the world would go, you know. He's always been a chum to me. We were buddies since about fifth grade, probably. And really, because we were both rejects. That's why. That's why we kind of bang on each other. He got a little bit better at football, so we weren't as close when we got to high school. But after all this, you know, he's still in defiance. And you know what? He found out I was a preacher. And he came to me and said, hey, I'd like you to do our wedding. Well, I didn't really think nothing of it. Then I asked him and said, well, have any of you been married or anything? He said, yeah, she's been married once. It about tore my heart in half. Because I knew. Look, my feelings didn't say, not do it. My emotions said, this is my buddy. This is my friend. This is my chance to get him to the Word and all. But you can't leave the Word to get people to the Word.
Amen.
How can I take people to Ohio and leave Ohio? That's what we're saying when we try to get people to the Word and forsake the Word that we're trying to get them to and trying to fit in and saying it's okay that you're a Baptist. It's okay you're Presbyterian. It's okay that you've been married. Once you get married again, the Bible says you commit adultery. It's not okay.
Right.
Amen. God gave us grace. We understand that, but I could not do it. I think you all understand that. I could not identify with sanctioning adultery. It's tough. And I had to tell him, and I about broke my heart. But look, I'm not here to serve the world. I'm not here to serve my feelings. I'm here to serve the Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. That's what the real Christian courage is. That's the kind of trials we deal with. Look, the people probably ain't going to cut your head off. All right? We're here in America. We're two bunch of sissies anymore, really, for that, unless you get out in a gang somewhere. But in other countries, you know, you say Christ, you're probably dead. You're right. I understand it. But what will we deal with? Are you going to stand for the Word? Are you going to crucify Him again? Say, it's okay. You know, I know Brother Brandon was a prophet, but do we really need to quote from him? Look, it's getting that way, brother, sister. People are afraid to even say Brother Branham hardly anymore. Look, the Bible says if you want to do the works of God, believe on Him whom He sent.
That's
right.
If you're afraid to say Brother Branham, don't say Paul.
Right.
Don't say Peter. Just say Jesus. I only believe what Jesus said. Well, Jesus said, believe on whom I send.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus came to Paul and said, look at all the great things you'll suffer for my name's sake, and you will be the light to the Gentiles. And the same Jesus said, Elias will come and restore all things. Thank you, Lord. At time evangelism, 1962. That's right, buddy. Glory to God. What I can't think of hearing anything better than what I just heard.
Amen.
Peter had a sword. He pulled that sword and was going to cut the high priest's ear off. And things like that, he did it. But when it come to real Christian courage, he didn't have it. He backed up and denied him. Is that right? He could cut the high priest's ear off with his sword. Sure, he knowed how to handle it. But when it come to the squeeze and time to stand on the Word of God, he didn't have the courage and even denied he knew Jesus. Let me bring that to the message for you. I know Brother Branham said that everything Christ was, we are. But there's exceptions to that. I know he's... No, that I'm misquoting. I hope you understand that. I'm not saying there's something different. No, there isn't. He's the same. That's the only thing that's different is where he is, not what he is. Amen. That's right. The Holy Ghost that lives in Dan, you know, he's there, I'm here. But it's the same person. That's right. The same one that came down the River Jordan and filled the Son of God is the same one that came to me and filled me at my bedside. That's right. And everything he was, I am. That's right. But they'll come and say, but you know, you're not omniscient. But the Bible says I know all things. You got the wrong eye, brother, sister. well, how do you go through all these things? It's like, well, first, Jesus went through a lot worse than I did, so I think I can handle it. Well, we've never had a time so hard as Laodicea. He said we'd overcome it.
Amen.
He said to them that overcome. That's right. They'll have the tree of life. Come on, one of them blessings. I'm ready to get out of here anyways. Amen. Like I said, I don't know about all these rewards and things, but if God tells me I can get a reward, I'm pretty sure I want it.
Amen.
Amen. They're too afraid to stand and say, this is the absolute. This interpretation is thus saith the Lord, and anything else is the devil. That's right. I've yet to see somebody leave the message and even keep the Bible together in any with a thread. That's right. You start questioning them then, sure, how we get baptized. They don't know. Should the women dress my... Well, kind of, but not really. Should they have long hair? Well, yeah, but that's up to interpretation. Shut up.
Amen.
Just stop talking. Doesn't that just make you want to throw up after a while? Now I know why God hates lukewarm. I can handle a sinner. I understand them. They don't have a hope in this world. They don't think there's a God. That's fine. Go drink, eat, be merry, smoke it up, buddy. But for someone to say, I'm a Christian, I believe the Bible. Or they might not even say that anymore. They say, I'm a Christian, but the Bible's just written by men. Then what does that even mean anymore? God bless Islam. At least they'll stick behind their Quran. We can't hardly find a man that'll stand behind the Word. That's right. And you show me where this interpretation fails in the Bible. I've never seen it. But it takes courage, brother, sister, to stand up and say, it's right. I have, thus saith the Lord, I have eternal life. I've received the Holy Ghost. And if you want it, you need the same thing I got. Man, you're stuck up. Man, you're this, you're that. You're just saying your church is better than theirs. Look, it ain't better, but the Holy Ghost is.
Amen.
The building's not the church anyways. But the believers are better because they ain't dying. They're living.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's where it is today. Reading again. We got courage to build buildings and put millions of dollars in them. We got courage to put pipe organs and plush seats and everything and go out and proselyte from place to place and make Methodists come to Baptists and so forth, back and forth like that. But when it comes to Christian courage to accept the Word, the message of God, and stand there on it, we are few. So what good is your stones without a stonemason again? Isn't that right? God's looking for character, not membership. Character. Eliezer, when he went to get the bride of Isaac, he sweated out until he found character. Remember, Abraham put him responsible as God puts us responsible. That's right, we ministers. Hunt my bride. God bless your heart. I ain't looking for members. I'm looking for the pure in heart. See, somebody that'll believe the word. And that's my commission from the Holy Ghost right here out of the message of the hour. I'm not looking for membership. I'm not looking for popularity. I'm looking for God's bride. And I know the only way to find her is to give the word. Because the word will bring the bride back. And it will cut off the unbelief. That's right. And look, if you're going to identify with it, it'll cut you off. But if you learn, that's not me. Cut it off, preacher. That's right. Cut that unbelief out of me. Let me be the bride. Let me be pure, unadulterated, the word of God in this hour. And Lord, give me boldness.
Yes, Lord.
That no matter what, preacher. Listen now. No matter what, look, even your husband, your wife, your son, the guy you think super spiritual, if the Holy Ghost shows you right here in the Word you're supposed to do something, do it.
Amen.
That's right. You don't honor a true servant of God by leaving the Word for him. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say, follow me when I don't follow Christ. He said, wretched man that I am. I don't think he was saying we all should do that. He's saying, when I do good, evil's present. Yeah, we go through it. But look, he wasn't saying that that's the end goal. He said, look, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Christian courage to be a man and say, you know what? I've made mistakes.
Right.
That's right. I've messed up. Look, if it wasn't for Paul saying that, what do we have in the Bible he even did wrong? If it wasn't for Samuel, I think, or one of the prophets, it was Daniel. That's what it was. The only time you can even find a fault with Daniel is out of his own prayer. Forgive us of our sins, how we've abhorred you, how we've turned away. Hallelujah. That takes courage. It takes courage for a man to say, I am not your God. He is. It takes a lot for a real minister to stay up and say, quit depending on me. You need him.
Amen.
And even when the people press it, look, it still goes on. They don't have a relationship with God, so they want a Nicolaitan system where some man is their link to the God they won't surrender to.
Amen.
And too many preachers like it.
Yeah.
Too many preachers want people to bow the snot out of them. They want, what? Hey, pastor, you know, hey, I was at Walmart and I couldn't figure out if I was supposed to get Kellogg's or Post cereal today. Do you have the word of the Lord for me? Well, why don't you pray? And if God really cares, He'll come tell you. That's right. Lord, who's going to win Saturday? What's your will? His will is, I don't care. Get saved. Get saved. Hallelujah. I actually heard this. I hope it's, I don't know, but I was talking to Brother Alexander. And he was saying that a lot of times Brother Ray will have communion. And it's on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday night. They didn't do it on purpose, but it worked out well. So that's right. I said, I might have to try that myself. I didn't plan on this one, but I guess that's right. It's Ohio State, Michigan Saturday. That's right. It's during the day, but that's all right. I don't care anyways. It's fine.
Hallelujah.
I already won.
Amen.
I already won. I'm going. Where am I at? Hallelujah. We're talking real courage. We're talking being real men and daughter, women of God, men of God. That instead of looking at the Bible and creating idols out of these people, we say, Lord, I can be the same. Lord, it's actually your will that I have the testimony that these people did. Return. Come back. Think on your ways and come to God's testimonies. That's right. But here's the price. It's never easy to stand alone. It's never easy to say, you know what? I respect you, brother. I respect you, sis. I respect you, whatever. But you're wrong.
Right.
And instead of going off in some impression or some feeling, here's what the Bible said.
Yeah.
I've had too many people say, well, Brother Ash, don't feel right. And I said, well, here's what Brother Bram said. What the Bible says, you tell me where it's wrong. I don't know. Well, then you're wrong. Stop.
That's right.
Just stop.
Because if the word, let me just say it like that, if Christ offends your doctrine, you're wrong. That's right. And you need to be courageous enough. I don't care if you've believed something for 40 years. It takes a man of courage to say, you know what, the word, I was wrong. Praise God. Now I can be free.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Sacrifice for Christ. Oh, man. All right. I'm just going to read it. Let it fall where it does. Adoption, part 4, 1960. Thus saith the Lord, it'll take perfect love to put you in that place, for that's all that was there. No matter how much religious demonstrations, how many good deeds you've done, or whatever you've done, that won't count for nothing on that day. It takes perfect love. So whatever you do, lay aside everything else until you're just so filled with the love of God till you can love those that hate you.
Sure.
I'm just, as I said this morning, my whole makeup is grace. A lot of people say, now you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Yeah, you do something for me and I'll do something for you. That's not grace. Grace is, if your back is itching, I'll scratch it anyhow, whether you scratch mine or not. You slap me on the face and say, my back needs itching, needs scratching, I'll scratch it. See, that's it. Do something. I don't believe in works. I believe that works is love. Works is the manifestation that grace has taken place. I don't live true to my wife because I believe she'd divorce me if I didn't. I live true to her because I love her. I don't preach the gospel because I think I'd go to hell if I didn't. I preach the gospel because I love him. Certainly, you think I'd cross these stormy seas and them planes driving back and forth and lightning flashing around and everything else and most any time and everybody screaming and Hail Marys are going there through the plane and everything? And then people swinging in them safety belts and the pilot saying, enough gas to last 15 minutes longer, don't know where we're at. Do you think I'd do that just for the fun of doing it? Huh? You think I'd get back out there in the jungles where German soldiers had to put their arms around me like this each night and take me in and out of the meeting until the Holy Spirit began to perform miracles? Communists setting the night scopes to shoot me a mile away. You think I'd do that just for the fun of it? Because something in me love. They're humans that Christ died for. Paul said, I'm not only willing to go up to Jerusalem, but I'm going there to be crucified. I'm going up to die. I'm going up there to die for the cause of the Lord. It's something. Love that constrains you, that makes you. That's exactly right. True. We're talking the Holy Ghost now. We're talking about people who really got the true, genuine article of the love of God in their soul. When the sacrifice looks too great, they don't buckle. When somebody talks bad about you, look, where do you go? What do you do about it?
Sure.
That's where you find out if you're a Christian or not. God lets it happen. God let Jesus go right to Samaria where they would turn him down. And what he could have done it. Don't kid yourself. He could have done it. He could have brought fire down from heaven and wiped them all out. Yes, he could have. But look, there was a prophet who did that. We understand Elijah did that by the word of the Lord. But Elisha came around and he got upset. Remember, he was mad because they started making fun of him.
That's right.
And it's probably one of the biggest stumbling blocks outside of this message in the Bible.
Sure.
That in the name of the Lord, he could curse 42 kids and some bears come tear them up. How does that even... But see, praise God for a message. That wasn't God's will. That was an angry prophet. That was a man that took the authority of God and used it for himself. That didn't take courage. That wasn't courageous at all. Courageous would have been helping those 42 kids because chances are their parents weren't leading them to the Word. Chances are they weren't the 7,000 not bowing the knee to Baal. There were the rest of them. And they had no hope. And here was their one chance for hope, and it kills them. God help us to not do the same with the life that God has given us. Praise His name. It comes at a price. It's not easy. I'm not giving you something that's supposed to be easy. If you think Christianity is easy, you don't have it. You don't have it. There has to be persecution, brother, sister. Jesus said that himself. Those that live godly will suffer persecutions. That's right.
Amen.
It's getting real quiet. Maybe we're just taking it home, putting it in our hearts. That's what we need to do. I read this out of we actually read it in the family altar, but it's so good I got to read it. It's God's ripped gaff, not ripped. Wrapped gift, there we go, 1960. If it's going to cost people anything, they don't want nothing to do with it. That's the way it is today. If it's going to cost you your bunco games, big times, your cigars, your dirty jokes, and all the filth and things of the world, the reason they don't want it, it'll cost them something. Your big society name with a lot of glitter on it. But it'll give you a name written in the Lamb's Book of Life that fadeth not away. So take your choice. You're a free moral agent. Oh, receive God's Christmas gift is my prayer for you. Yes, they don't want it because it does something to them. Hallelujah. And they love sin too much. They know the effects of the true Holy Ghost will drive that out of their lives. But they're so in love with it, so identified with that thing, they can't let it go. And if there's any a man who sought God, who ever wanted the true Holy Ghost, God will show you the thing that's in the way. Don't you lie to me. I don't care who you are. God didn't give me the Holy Ghost. God won't give me the Holy Ghost. No, you won't open up. You loving something else. Look, there was a rich young ruler, religious as could be, didn't really care about Jesus. But when he asked the question, how must I receive eternal life? He told him.
Amen.
And you be courageous enough to say the same thing. Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive the word for this day.
Amen.
And you'll get saved. Otherwise, you won't. Don't join my church. Come on. Don't just listen to tapes. Don't just read your Bible. Pray. Those are great, and we ought to do those as Christians, but you need to be a Christian before it even helps.
Yeah.
That's right. If anything, the devil will take the word you do know when you're not converted and twist it all up and use it against you and say, I don't want nothing to do with this. That's what he's done to this generation that's in the message. But there's a group who actually got in contact with this God and took the mantle of the word, threw it down and said, where's the God of Elijah?
Hallelujah.
And instead of just getting a wet shirt and saying, I guess he's dead, and pick it up and walk away, the waters parted.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Sin got out of my life.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It did the same signs it did in Elijah.
Amen.
When he prayed for the sick, they got well. I don't pray for the sick, makes excuses.
Right.
We believe God. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Throw it down. And if the waters don't part, well, you ain't cold. That's about right.
Amen.
Go ahead, preacher. I don't care what your name is. Elisha didn't have a reputation till then.
That's right.
Although he had no evidence that he had a double portion till right then.
That's right.
Then he knew. Then you couldn't talk him out of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that, look, that wasn't easy. Remember, he had to follow Elijah through three cities with Elijah saying, go home. And the prophets come and saying, don't you know? Like, come on, this is common knowledge. We've all heard from the Lord. He's going home today. We're following with him. Just let him go. Someone's moving in Elisha. He says, I got to follow him. Don't you know the Spirit's leaving the earth? Don't you know that there's no more power of God? You know the churches are falling away? I don't care. I'm going to keep following.
Amen.
You guys can all fall apart. That's fine. But I'm going to go where he is. That's right. And not just Elijah, but it's the Word. I'm going to follow Christ wherever he is.
Amen.
Amen. And when if you see me go, what? Lord, let your Spirit be on me. That's right. That's my prayer. Hallelujah. Yes, they don't want it because it does something to them. Or did the government? The government didn't want him. Herod didn't want him. No, sir. Because why? He was going to change his program. And the government don't want him today. We're supposed to be a Christian nation. Why? The UN don't want him. They'll take every other idea in the world besides his. See? They never offer prayer. There's no prayer at them sessions. They just go in there and dog eat dog, as the same old expression is from the streets. They don't want Christ. He'd have to change their programs. Therefore, they don't want him. They didn't want him then, and they don't want him now. The churches didn't want him because he disagreed with their creeds. He told them that they were, said, you're a generation of vipers, you whited walls. He called them everything that could be taught of. Told old Herod, said, go tell that fox. And what's dirtier than a fox? What's more stinky and low down than a dirty old fox? Jesus said that's what he is. So he called black, black, and white, white. He called wrong, wrong, and right, right. So they didn't want that. The churches today don't want a pastor filled with the Holy Ghost that'll really boil out and tell them what's right and wrong. They don't want it. They'd fire him right quick. Deacon board, get together and turn him away. Get another one that'll talk about their creeds. Brother, I know no creed but Christ, no law but love, and no book but the Bible. That's what we need. That's what the churches need.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we need not just more preachers. We need more saints that are willing to take that word on themselves and say, that's my responsibility, Lord. It's my responsibility. I might not be called to preach or do this, that, or the other, but there's one thing you're called to do, and that's to stand for the word. And wherever God brings you, sister, don't you be ashamed of your hair. My wife even had a little conviction here recently because she said it's just easier to put my hair up so people quit looking at me all the time. I said, don't you do that. But she said the Lord convicted her, so that's all right. But I would have said the same thing. Let it flow. That's right. You testify way faster than any of us brothers can. And don't worry, we testify right there because they said, there goes the Amish. That's right. We're right there with you, sis. Don't worry. They think we're loony too. That's right. But it takes courage to stand up and say, you know what? I want the truth. I want the truth no matter what. If I'm going to hell, I want to know. Amen. If I can do something about it, I want to know. Well, you can't. All right, what do I need to do? Repent, and God will come save you. Amen. That's right. Quit telling the world what not to do. We need to tell them what to do. Believe the word. Repent. But just don't repent. Believe. Believe. You've got to repent and then say, that word's for me. That God brought me to the word to save me so I could go be with him. He didn't bring me the word to kill me. And why did he bring it to me if I was just going to die anyways? That's right. Hallelujah. He brought it to me so I could be saved. And if you want to be saved, be saved. How? Believe. If you want a Holy Ghost, if you want a filling of the Holy Ghost, you got to believe it. Well, maybe I'll feel it. No, you got to know it. Amen. We got to get way past the feelings. We're done. That don't take courage. It don't take courage when God so inspires a person they can't even hardly think, and he does something. That look, God can't do that. He does. But that's not, I don't want to say it. When Brother Branham, remember when the prophecy came to that boy, never spoke in tongues before, and said, you know, you've made the hard choice, and you've chosen my way, and I'll give you a big portion of heaven. He didn't even know what he was doing. Is that boy saved? I don't know. Right. Maybe, I don't remember if Brother Branham said he got the Holy Ghost or not. But the point is, just because that happened doesn't mean he is. Right. The bride is supposed to be one with the Spirit. Yeah. So when those things happen, we know it because we're a part of it. Amen. Not because God just blows it through. He did that with the campuses. Campuses didn't know what he was saying. The Spirit let that prophecy come through him. It said, let one man die for the nation. That didn't make him saved at all. The bride, look, the foolish virgins, come on. They said, when did we help you? When did we visit you? When did we do these things? The bride's not in that category. She knows what her master does because he said, I don't call you servants. I call you friends. I call you my bride. But it takes courage to say, yes, when you think you know what the queen of heaven is, you don't have a clue because it's me. You're going to call me a heretic anyways. I might as well just tell you what we believe. The bride is God in this day. Amen. And anymore, it takes courage to stand up and say, the message don't change. It's the same thing. And you know what? If you love God, you'll come to church. If you love God, you'll get here early and pray because you want to get in the Spirit. That's right. If you love God, you're not going to run out of the things of the world. Come on. You're going to think on God. You're going to be in the Word, not because you have to, because you want to. Amen. Some people got an excuse, well, all sin is sin. Come on, no it isn't. The Bible even says there's a sin to death. I don't say even pray for that. But look, a man, you know, or whatever, you know, you got on somebody's Wi-Fi and then hurry up and got off because you felt convicted. That's a little different than running out on your wife. It's sin is sin, I understand, but there's a different amount of reaping and things. Christians, we make mistakes, and we'll reap for every one of them, but there's a certain line. When you have the Holy Ghost, you just can't cross. You can't go back to the bars. You can't go back to smoking the doobies or whatever. And I've seen many people come and try to even correct me, and they come later and find out they're living in all kinds of sin. What do you even bother with me for? And that's why anymore I don't even deal with other people. So I'm still worried about what happens in my life. I just pray for you. I don't got time to try to overcome what you're going through. I got to overcome what I'm going through. That's right. Hallelujah. But too many times a minister will exalt who they are to such a place the people think he doesn't struggle. So they assume, since they do, because we all do, that they're not overcomers.
that they must not have the real Holy Ghost yet. And actually, they can never get it because they did everything the Bible said they were supposed to do and they didn't get it. Yeah. That's not courage. That's called a bluff. Uh-huh. It takes courage to be a real man. Right. And say, my makeup is all grace. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be alive, right. First off. I definitely wouldn't be serving the Lord. And I definitely wouldn't care about you all. Right. Let's just be honest. But because of God, got into my life, got into my heart. He showed me the truth. They're souls, man. These people are going to die. And that's it. They're going to die and suffer until they're destroyed. It makes you want to do something. It makes you want to at least give them a chance. Hallelujah. It takes courage, brother, sister, to stand for your convictions. To stand for what God reveals to you. And you know what? There's some things even in your life that nobody else will understand. Right. Nobody else will understand why you have to do it that way. But you know God told me to do that. Amen. You know, some people say, I pray after lunch from 1 to 2 every day. And that's the conviction of theirs. That might not be somebody else's, but it's theirs. Yeah. Don't you question them.
That's right.
Don't say, oh, you're just being a legalistic. You'll watch them backslide right after that. Yeah. Because that was something God told them to do. That's right. Do you expect me to study for this service? Of course you do, because that's something God called me to do. What if God called that sister to pray every day at that time?
Right.
That's right. And even Brother Branham had to do this when he answered. Let me just read the quote and then I'll wrap this up. You enjoying the word tonight?
Amen.
Are you thankful?
Amen.
Do you get to sleep in the morning? I slept in, Brother Ronnie, to 7:40 this morning.
Amen.
Yeah, that's about all I get anymore. Of course, my son woke me up about 6:30 anyways, but that's all right. Just roll over there, buddy. We'll go to sleep. Now, if the this question answers 1964, let me try to wrap this up. Now, if the question is not satisfactory to you, well, then maybe I've made a mistake, see? I might have made a mistake because these things are just the best of my understanding. And I want the ministers who have their congregations or the congregation of a certain church that would listen to these questions. I do not want this. If it's any reflection upon your teaching and your congregation, I want the congregation to understand clearly that this is just our teaching here at the Tabernacle. I'm not trying to press it upon other groups of people. I just want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian in my heart that I teach what I believe. I stand on my conviction. If I compromise to that, I'm a traitor to Christ.
Yes, sir.
And a hypocrite to you. And I must stand loyal on what I believe to be the truth. But every other man has a right to do the same. God is the judge of us all. And when you see people like Jeff Jenkins who say they're behind this message for 40 years and get up and was a hypocrite the whole time, what kind of condemnation is coming to that man?
Right.
Some people don't like that, but look, that's the scriptures. So it's my conviction. There's no hope. None for that. When you're a traitor to Christ, you were a hypocrite for so long. Some of us condemn ourselves being a hypocrite for about 5 seconds. How in the world could you stand behind a pulpit and say stuff that you don't believe at all? Over and over again. Too afraid to be a man because your daddy believes it.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, look, how many times have you... I've seen it so many times now. You'll watch a good old saint. He's got kids that he's taught right.
Yeah.
He'll go off the scene. All of a sudden, you find out who really believed this.
Right.
I don't care. I've seen preachers gone.
That's right.
And almost overnight. God don't have grandchildren.
Right.
Stand on your convictions. That's right. Say the word, what it says. Just like when I said about living in sin, the Bible says, he that lives in the pleasure of this world or enjoys the things of the world does not have the love of the Father in him.
Amen.
No murderer will enter the kingdom. That's right. That's because you murdered doesn't mean you're a murderer.
Right.
You got to receive salvation. But don't tell me you received it and then are still a murderer.
Right.
Don't tell me you received it and still love the things of the world. You need to have something happen.
Amen.
And it'll take courage to do that.
It
would have been more courageous for the man to just get up a long time ago and say, I don't believe this, and leave.
Right.
But now you know why it's happening so often? Because it's popular. Because it's the cool thing to do. You'll make more money and you'll have more friends. When before in the message, you'd have done something like that, whew, you wouldn't have nobody talking to you.
That's right.
But now they've created. It's here. I don't know how. There's an X message denomination. There is. If you look around, they're all together. They don't go to church anymore. That don't matter. But the point is, they're believers in wherever they're doing, and they have one goal: to destroy the message. That don't take courage. It don't take courage to get on Facebook and bash somebody. It don't take courage to go and spout off a bunch of scriptures totally out of context and act like you're really smart when really everything you said is wrong. Let me just break it down an example. I hope you maybe understand, but pray for me. I'm a math teacher, right? And I'll have a kid every once in a while come up and say something. It says, stump your math teacher and show them that 1 = 2. And you know what always happens? Somewhere, you can't divide by 0. You're not supposed to. You can't do it. And they'll hide it. They'll have formulas and all this stuff. But when you actually look at one of the steps, they're dividing by 0. So yes, if you divide by 0, I can make 10 billion look like 1. That's the same with when they do the word. They got all these quotes and scriptures, and then you're like, wait a minute, you just totally bypass that one. Just like when you watch, we're in the millennium now, and they'll take it from Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom, and future home. And they'll say, oh, see, we're in the millennium now. It's like you said we're not. Read the paragraph before and after that. You don't even have to read the whole sermon. That's right. And then we'll get the 2 souls out of that, right? Say, well, look, that was my old soul. That's gone, and now I'm a new soul. No, Brother Branham specifically said the new earth is not an annihilation. It's the same earth converted. He said, just like you're not annihilated, but you're the old soul regenerated. Got all these great quotes here and all these great in the bottom, but can't really bridge us together, brother. Yeah. Good service tonight, isn't it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The word is so good. Yeah. The word is so good. Brother, sister, we don't need to stand up in some bold stand, as we say it, like, where I'm going to take my sword and cut people's ear off.
Right.
Or I'm going to be this, I'm going to do that. Just be a Christian. Yeah. Be a Christian. Stand on your convictions when you're asked. Don't be wishy-washy with it. Somebody asks you, sister, why your hair's long? Don't say you just like it. Tell them.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. Don't say I got a skirt on to stay warm. Tell them.
Yeah,
come on. Look, I've done it with shorts. I'm not going to lie. I've said I just don't like shorts. When really, I just think you're a big sissy girl with them on.
Yep.
You can look up the history. They come from women's underwear, but that's all right. That's true. Look it up. Hallelujah. I don't even know where to go at this point. Hallelujah. I'll just say this in closing. I'm so thankful. As I put on my Facebook, that God got a hold of me before all this nonsense, these churches and ideas could even get into my life. For those of us that even did, aren't you glad God got you out of it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Just to think, I love thinking about that. Sometimes anytime you get discouraged and stuff, just think of where everybody came from.
Yeah.
Even right here in this, 15 people, 20 people. Where did we all come from? And here we are. Why? Getting ready to leave.
Amen.
God brought us all back so we can be part of that bride to go up. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for that? Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We'll walk in the light. Beautiful light. Is that making a new declaration today? Lord, I'll walk in the light as you're in the light. Go ahead, Dad. You're going to have to help me.
We'll walk
with all your heart
in the light. Such a beautiful light. Shine all around us by day and by night.
Glory to God.
Jesus, the light of
the
world.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship Him now.
Leave
it, Lord. Follow you all the way.
Such a beautiful.
love to Him tonight.
Oh, we'll walk in the light, such a view.
Yes, it is, Lord. Glory to God.
Oh, come where the dew drops of mercy are bright. Oh, shine all around us,
right on, Lord,
by day and
hallelujah,
by night.
Hallelujah. Aren't you happy tonight?
Oh, Jesus, the light of the world. Oh, and I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Oh, praise the
for that, being saved by the grace of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And I will praise Him.
Together tonight before Him. Hallelujah. Trusting you to be a Christian tonight. To know the grace of God in your life. But would you want to pray and say, Lord, I receive your word today. Lord, I just haven't been as courageous as I ought to be. I've made excuses, I've reasoned, Lord, but it's time for me just to be the Christian you called me to be. To not be afraid, but to stand for this word with all my heart, knowing that it's really you, Lord, that I'm standing for. Is there anyone who want to rededicate yourself to that? Say, Lord, use me. Here am I, Lord, use me. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sis. God bless you, sister. Mean that now with all your heart. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, little brother. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sis. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Hallelujah. Don't just repent. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Lord, yes, I have. I understand. I acknowledge my sin, but I acknowledge your blood. I acknowledge your spirit. I acknowledge your saving hand and the power that has been in my life. It'll do it again. Hallelujah. 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 In his presence. Oh, thank you, Lord. Don't you just love when he comes and touches you all over again? Just that faith touch that just shakes all that off. Isn't it so glorious? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Don't be afraid to praise Him, church. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If there would be, as we stay humble and reverent before the Lord, if you'd like special prayer, would you come forward now if there's anyone? Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's Christian courage. Thank you, Jesus. It's Christian courage for that man to say, Lord, my boy's crazy. And I tried to help him, but I can't. Lord, help us. Help my unbelief, because I know it's there, but Lord, I can't do anything about it. I need you, and I give it to you. That's how you get victory, church. You just hand it to him. And all your problems, all spiritually, mentally, physically, I do not care. If you'll give it to Jesus, it'll be over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray with me as I pray with my brother.
Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I've never seen to know that this is right. Be a Christian and give his heart to you and serve you all his days. Bless him, Lord, I pray in Jesus Christ.
Christian example in this house.
was not in good. Blessed be my Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus, to be a good boy, raising a Christian. In his mind, Lord.
Thou art exalted far above.
Soul and raise her up, Lord, for thy glory and praise. We rebuke this infirmity in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ. We gather together in faith and we believe that, Lord, the family will see that this is the true and living God. Lord, there is no time or distance to you. Would you go to this girl now and touch her, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Give me a hand clap for praise and worship tonight. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! We lift you up, Jesus. We lift you up, Lord. We're thankful, Lord Jesus.